I think there's a huge issue here.
I can't... Yeah, I struggle with it, to be honest.
It's like walking a tightrope.
You might feel it's the right thing to do.
How I should say something.
There is a conflict.
I would tend to check that.
I'm muddled on this.
I really struggle with it.
I don't want to go to school today. I think we've all said that. Some of us say it well into our adult lives. I'll forgive you. It gives parents heartburn. If it only happens occasionally, it's probably manageable. What if, though, it becomes a battleground every morning before school? And here's this week's modern dilemma from a listener we'll call Worried. I have a 16-year-old child who has a dream of becoming an IT software technician for computer games. Hence, he is on his computer most of the time, to the point where he considers going to school a matter of choice. So is the food he eats, which means he prefers pizza and McDonald's. Coming down hard on him just makes him angry, and he starves because he won't eat the food I cook. When he goes to school, he does well, but he's very sensitive about being perceived well. When he refuses to go to school, I'm left speechless as to explain to him he isn't going to be able to live out his dreams if he doesn't go to school. He has refused to go to an assessment to see if he has a learning disability, which by most accounts he doesn't have. I'm a single parent with schizophrenia, so I'm wary of becoming unbalanced about this. But a very bright child's life is about to go to waste if I don't do something to stimulate him for school. Everybody tells me he's bright enough to wake up, but it better be soon. There are no workshops for parents of troubled teenagers here in Canberra, and counselling appears to be successful, but he still thinks he has a choice about going to school. Oh, so many parents will understand this one. And joining us is Melbourne-based clinical psychologist Sally-Anne McCormack and philosopher Dr. Patrick Stokes from Deakin University. Welcome to you both.
Morning, thanks, Natasha. Morning,
yes. Yes, look, complex this, because it's you have to wonder whether it's more than teenage apathy at work. But what concerned me was the comment about him being sensitive about being perceived well. So maybe there's a genuine anxiety at work here about school. Sally-Anne.
Look, it's very common with people that are addicted, and I use that word lightly for the moment, to computers, that it's likely that there's a mental health issue there, and it's often depression. It's unclear which is causal, but often people are addicted have depression. And so if he's worried about being perceived well, that seems fairly logical with a possible condition that he may have.
Although, I mean, there might be a genuine issue at school for him.
Look, there may be, but I actually suspect that it is more of a computer addiction condition.
Tricky word, that.
Yeah.
And I don't think tricky. It actually exists. But
It doesn't technically exist. And the reason that it doesn't is that, you know, a lot of people would argue that you can't be addicted to an inanimate object. Mm. But what happens when you use a computer, particularly gaming, which it sounds like this person's doing, is you get dopamine hits. You get these sudden hits in the brain that, similar to a drug addict or, you know, someone who overeats or whatever it is that they may do, and all of a sudden you get this, you know, wanting and desire to go back. So, you know, it's a bit iffy about the title of it. But what they've said here is also that he's choosing to eat particular foods as well. So that's not really avoidance of school. I think there is definitely a bigger issue there.
Yeah, that's a stoush going on, but we'll come back to that. Patrick, he's 16. He's getting to an age where it's quite difficult for a parent to lay down the law about school. And this conversation around choice gets complex too.
It does. I think even just in the short time that I've been doing Modern Dilemmas, Natasha, we've already spoken about this once before, about the tricky thing about being a teenager, which is that we expect teenagers to be rational enough to make what are actually pretty long-term decisions about their life. We expect them to be able to determine, okay, I'm going to study these classes in my last couple of years at high school, and then I'm going to go into this course here because that's what it sets me up for. But at the same time, we don't take them to be rational enough to drive, vote, fight in the war, all that sort of thing. So there's a complicated kind of status involved in being a teenager. You're kind of caught between this not being a fully fledged member of the rational community, if I can put it that way, and yet having to make a lot of choices for yourself and having to exercise a degree of autonomy, maybe without a huge amount of experience or perspective or any of those things which help in making good choices.
It's not just our hormones that can thwart us. I mean, computer games sounds like his love of computer games is thwarting him too.
I find it very hard to condemn that, but it obviously that is a bit of an issue, but at the same time that might also point to a way forward here, because the thing that really struck me about this one was that Worried is concerned that he can't live out his dreams if he doesn't continue to do well in his studies, because he needs the formal education if he's going to do the thing that he's mapped out for himself in the future. And one of the things that I actually work on in my own work is the way in which we own the past and own the future. And very often we can envisage a future without really emotionally connecting with it, without having what you might call emotional access to it. So, I mean, that's what the anti-smoking ads, for instance, are about, right? Most smokers know that causally what they're doing is probably going to have bad consequences down the track. What those ads are asking them to do is to actually emotionally identify with that future person, and to care about them in the way they care about their present self. Now, it seems to me that what Worried's son might need to do here is, if he really does identify with that future self that's working in the computer game industry, if that's something he really sees himself in, not just in a kind of disconnected daydream sort of way, like people who say, oh, I hate my job, but one day I'm going to chuck it and go live in the country and hand-rear orphaned unicorns or whatever. If he really does identify with it, then the next step is for him to actually sketch out the causal path.
Well, she probably needs to have a role there, but perhaps she's not the one to have that role. Maybe that's where you wheel in a teacher or a counsellor or a male friend who he might listen to. Because, you know, she's a single mum and there's that classic dynamic that gets set up between kids and mums.
But to a certain extent, I think he has to do it for himself too. I think she needs to prompt him maybe. This is a sort of Socratic midwifery that we like to talk about in philosophy. Maybe she needs to sort of say, okay, well, this is where you want to get to. What are the steps? Show me the narrative. Show me how you get from here to there. Get him to own the future, tell the story of how he gets to that future, and then own the story.
Love it. Socratic midwifery on Modern Dilemmas. Sally Ann McCormack, there's clearly a battle of wills going on here, though. You can see it in the food situation.
Yes, I think the challenge with that, it sounds like, I love the idea, and we would probably call that very similar to interpersonal therapy or something like that, where they, you know, come up with a narrative and look forward to the future. It sounds like she's had a go at that, though, in because she said she keeps, you know, pointing out to him, you know, the you know, positives and how he needs to get to his goal. And again, I worry about the, you know, if there is a depressive issue in there, which often there is, it's not uncommon. And I think that really the parent, I read that she, you know, she worries about her mental health, which is great. It sounds like it's being managed. It sounds like she's, you know, doing the right things.
But it's causing her to doubt her own very sensible ideas, which is a worry.
And so one of the things that we do need to do as a parent is to set some boundaries, but in a way that's not going to cause her stress and will actually help him to live his dream. So one of the things that I do is something called rights and privileges, and it's a system that I set up that empowers the child, gives them responsibility, actually gives the parent the boundaries as well, but also allows them to be on their child's side.
So how would it play out in this particular situation, briefly?
Yep, so briefly, a right is something that any child can have, you know, that has to have in Australia, so, you know, whatever, you know, a safe place to sleep, healthy food. A privilege is something that you earn, which is what we all do too when we go to work. So this child can earn his computer time. And some of, you know, his mum doesn't want his money. What she does want is him to attend school, for example. So that might equate to a certain amount of time on the computer every day. And so
this is a nice way of describing bribes, don't you reckon?
Not so much. Well, in a way,
bargaining.
But it's more that he earns it, which is what we do. That's how I get my money. That's how I get my privileges.
Patrick, what do you think of this? It could lead to a conflict, but access to computer is a powerful bargaining chip.
I think if that's the most powerful chip that's in play, I think what Sally Ann's saying makes a huge amount of sense. I guess too, part of that is that it also invokes his agency in the whole thing. It sort of, again, is saying to him, if this is what you want, then these are the steps you have to take to get it. So simply standing there, and I'm not suggesting for a moment this is what Worried's been doing, but if you're just going to stand there and say, hey, you'll never get to where you want to be if you keep doing this, that's not going to help to a certain extent. He needs to be able to sort of say, see some nice concrete things that he can make decisions about and see that he's making those decisions for himself. And possibly just, yeah, restricting his computer access in that way might be a very useful way of getting him to do that.
Sally Ann, can I just throw into the mix? I mean, finishing school is crucial and important and immensely valuable. Some kids find another path, though. School isn't for them.
That's absolutely right. It's still... Look, honestly, if this is really his career choice, though, he doesn't really have... There are no other options. He will have to get some type of degree or certificate or something, because the computer industry, the amount of the adolescents that I see that are really playing these games non-stop are saying, well, I'm logging up all these hours, I'll be able to see how many hours I spend on their games. That's not what they're looking for in a job. So, you know, he may have to find a way of doing some type of study.
Patrick, final word to you on this one for mum?
Stick with it. That's the main thing I can say here is don't disengage. I know that's what I seem to say every time, but I think she really does need to keep coming at this in a fairly creative way and trying to put some of the responsibility back onto him to sort of explain himself and explain how he thinks this is all going to work.
I think that's a very powerful point that you make, and that will give her some confidence, I think, to kind of take it out of her control and put it into his domain. Strong one. Look, both of you are absolutely terrific. Thank you.
Thanks, Natasha.
Thank you.
Dr. Patrick Stokes is lecturer in philosophy at Deakin University. Socratic midwifery, I love it. And Sally Ann McCormack is a clinical psychologist in private practice in Melbourne. Please keep your modern dilemmas coming. You can send them to us on our homepage, abc.net.au/radionational/lifematters.